Welcome to Craft Beer Radio, episode 533, on September 27th, 2026.
Pink Pony Club, I'm gonna keep on dancing at the Pink Pony Club. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Nailed it.
We're back.
Thank you.
So we have a interesting story about that song that we'll get to at some point.
Yeah, yeah. But now we got a show. So yes. Shannon was out in Seattle, and one of her peers out there also works at a brewery. So we have some beers from them. That's the Black Raven Brewing. And this guy's a lager. Let's do this one first. Moon Tower Lager.
Moon Tower.
I know what moon towers are. I thought they were like in Austin. I didn't know they had them in Seattle.
So Black Raven.
What do you think a moon tower is?
Moon tower is like this electric arc thing, like before they had streetlights, but they'd be like centralized, like in the town square and stuff like that. They're pretty much like just an Arkea thing now.
Well, it does say it's Friday night and we were all meeting up at the Woodenville Cut Shop outside the blah, 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 behind the glow of a Texas moon on a warm summer night. So, yes.
And yeah, I knew that they were like a thing in Austin because I'm 99% invisible from a long time ago, or it stuck with me. So
4.7%,
4%
on this beer from Moon Tower Lager.
I'm thinking of somebody on Sesame Street. No, the Muppet Show. It was the chef.
Borgity borgity work.
Yeah, that's what that just reminded me of.
4.5% board.
All right, so is this like inspired like after like any kind of like Texas lager or anything like
that? It looks like it's a collab with Cut Shop Woodenville. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I believe in yes, but because of the nature, mm-hmm. but the globe, a Texas moon tower, yeah, it's inspired by the moon towers.
Fruity.
Yeah.
It's dry.
You're right. Lots of esters on the
Okay. Nose. Interesting note here. This is American lager with maize and barley. So this is a lot of straw-ish. Well, but this is
a cream ale.
I don't know if it's a cream ale or a cap.
Oh, yeah. I guess it could be like a classic American pilsner.
Yeah.
The aroma, I was thinking that, I mean, the hops do come through, but I wasn't, before you said corn, I hadn't identified that. And I was trying to figure out where that sweetness was coming from, but it all lines up.
Yeah, it's smelling classic American Pilsner, like, you know, your Budweiser's, your Miller.
Well, those aren't.
Well, Budweiser's mostly rice, right?
Yeah, no, those aren't really caps. Caps are a special thing. Iron City would be a close thing to that, right, with the corn bill and stuff. So. Smells good.
Drink fresh, do not cellar.
Should have pulled these out in the pre-show. I wasn't thinking about that. Mm. Oh, yeah, we've been doing the pre-show again, if you're curious. So, you know, and if you don't even know about our extras feed, there's a separate podcast feed you can subscribe to and get more nonsense. Post-show is usually a lot of fun. Pre-show is just to kind of break the ice.
And, yeah, it's not as much like... Because we're not as drunk. We're not as inebriated, I suppose I should say. We don't really get drunk on the show. It's very rare.
No.
But we do get, you know.
Challenge accepted.
Wow. It's not going to take much for me today because I'm on an empty stomach. So a very empty stomach.
Oops. All right. So this is a light beer. It's going to be hard to find words and things.
I mean, it's supposed to be cold. So I'm not really getting going to warm this up too much. It's not designed to be
a
warmer ale.
Beer drinks easy. It has a decent malty flavor to it. Mm-hmm. The hops are moderate. They're not super hoppy, but they're
there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not like forward at all. Mm-hmm. They're just there in the background to a little bit of bitters. And there's more floral notes from the hops than you would typically get in a traditional cap, I think.
I'm hardly a connoisseur of Iron City or Icy Light. But from what I do think I know about it, this seems to land in between the two. It's lighter than an Iron City, but it still has a good, you know, distinct body to it.
Weirdly enough, I've been drinking more of that because while we're in classes, at Bottle Rocket, you get happy hour prices all the time, mm-hmm. and Iron City Draft is $3. So Iron City and IC Light are $3 draft. So uh-huh. it's easy to just go in there and yeah, get a couple just beers.
Put it on my tab. Yeah,
yeah. So usually I start with something like maybe I'll start with a two-hearted and then I'll just okay. drop down.
So to, since you've been having it more frequently, what's your assessment compared to like an Iron City?
I think you're right. I think this is midway between an Iron City and IC Light. I think that, you know, this again has more hoppy, more hops than either of those combined.
Yeah.
But it's matching up. I don't find Iron City offensive at all. Like, not like I do the other Pittsburgh beer that's...
Rolling Rock.
No.
The other Pittsburgh beer.
Yeah, the one that everyone is... why can't I remember the name of it? Because I definitely avoid it all the time.
Penbury.
No. The one that, like, it was famous around... It was famous, but people were like, yo, you got to go and try this.
Oh, Straub?
No,
the Eternal
it's
Tap.
Not, it's not a cap. It's also...
If only we had a device.
Yingling.
Oh, Yingling.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Yingling sucks. Fuck you, Philly.
Yeah, I don't understand. I haven't tasted it in so long. Maybe I'd have a different
dish. I have, and it's just as... It's still copper. Bad. It's just not good.
I like this. It's smooth. It doesn't...
No, it's plenty. It's super drinkable, easy to quaff.
Yeah, it's a really nice, I say this a lot on the show, but it's a really nice summer beer to have when you're working out in the yard and stuff. It's a great beer. I like it.
It's good for doing on a podcast, too, I would
say. Yeah, it is. It's very good.
Cool.
Yeah, Black Raven is in Redmond.
And Woodinville. There's actually two. I could... tell the story really short, quickly. So they originated in the Redmond building, and then they decided they needed, that's where they brewed all of their beer as well, and they decided they needed more space, so they found some property in Woodinville, and of course you and I know Woodinville pretty well, and it's a really nice area. So they bought property and then had the building built to their specs. You know, which was really nice. And so they do all of their brewing now in the Woodinville location. And they just have beers on tap at their Redmond location. But they have, on average, I think it's about 20 beers on tap at any given time. They brew a lot of beers. And...
On tap, they have 269 beers listed. So.
Well, I'm very wrong.
What?
When
listed.
Yeah, that they've like, all that they, had they've, total. They've made. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I was like, I don't even know because the Woodinville one is smaller, but they do have two bars and. So depending on what you order, you have the bartender has to go to the other bar to get the beer because they only have, 10 on tap at the one and then 10 different ones on tap at the other bar in the building.
Black Raven on the show before, but they're not showing up in the beer index. But the beer index is AI generated, so it might have missed some things if the transcriptions didn't get picked up right. And I also don't have all the shows transcribed yet, so that could be part of it too.
I mean, maybe you did before me.
No, it was before.
Okay.
You were on the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. I like this. I like
So what's Black next? Raven. What are you holding?
We're going to do another Black Raven. We're going to do the Pilsner.
You sure you want to do a Pilsner right after the water?
That or we get into hoppy things or a Belgian. I mean,
I think that it'd be nice to not just
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to go with this one next. This is East End Brewing's 21st anniversary.
Oh, okay. East End.
It's a Belgian golden strong ale.
21st anniversary. So East End can legally drink now.
Yes.
Good for them. I need to look about the information on this through all of the marketing nonsense.
Make sure you read all the puns. Scott loves his puns.
Thank you.
Okay, that was just all right, I don't see any information. 8.4% though.
Ooh.
Pours golden. Depends on what part of the can you got. Looks like your guys are pretty clear. Mine's a little cloudy. The aroma is quite different from what we came through. Instead of being corn and malt forward, this one is very kind of Belgian estery, a little bit like a candy sugar kind of thing or something like that. Bubblegum, maybe circus peanuts.
I'm getting
banana.
Yeah, but there it's a not a candied banana, but.
Well, I could see banana chips, though. That's not wrong.
Yeah, a vanilla Tootsie Roll.
Okay. Looking for it.
Yeah, no, I think that there's something there. I mean, these esters are so close to each other. I think the vanillin mm-hmm. and whatever the banana ester is. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's called bananalin, but it's yeah. something.
So I have some inside tips here. Scott said they were going for Duvel when they made this.
Okay.
This one's, it's got a lot of, the word? It's left me.
From my first sip,
No, it's like drinking a soda, you know? It's kind of...
Fizzy?
It's very fizzy and mm-hmm. more fizzy than like a sparkling water.
So coming off the transition from the last beer, the malt kind of surprised me. It tasted more like earthy and rustic than I expected, almost like a rye or a buckwheat or something like that.
Yeah.
Which I've had more other cans of these and never thought about them this critically, but I was kind of surprised by that kind of earthiness.
No, I totally agree with you that, I mean, coming from a cap,
mm-hmm.
from, you know, a much sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is, you know, way more towards like burnt cracker kind of vibes.
Yeah. 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 Second sip still has that kind of rye vibe for me. It's a mm-hmm. little spicy or earthy.
Yeah. Spicy. Scott.
Did you say, yeah, inspired by the legendary Duvel and the fact that we haven't made this style of beer in over 15 years. We thought it was about time. Hop with Golding's Savinsky. I got nothing. Mm-hmm.
Just sounds like a Czech version of Golding's.
Yeah.
There's kind of a pepperiness on the nose as I'm getting into it more and it's warming and I'm getting through all the banana chips and bubblegum.
It's almost like a winter ale. Like some of the flavors that I'm picking out are the same things that I pick out of a winter ale. Does that make sense?
Well, now I'm getting the sweetness really coming through in the end and I'm getting some... I just read something that was a guide. I'm trying not to make it influence me, which is good because I don't really necessarily taste that. But I am tasting maybe something melon-ish.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would go cantaloupe, actually. Yeah. It's not like strong cantaloupe. I don't want anyone to think that this tastes like melon balls.
No,
but I could see like
cantaloupe is a melon.
Essence.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, but yeah. I could see an essence of... I mean, I was a kind of a joke of saying this isn't like eating a ball of piece of cantaloupe. It's more of just like an essence of maybe like the more rindy part of the, you know, still edible mm-hmm. part of the cantaloupe or something mm-hmm. like that.
Now, see, I was thinking more of the really ripe, really sweet cantaloupe.
I taste both. In the malt, I taste the rindiness. In the after finish, I taste
the sweetness. The really
the melon.
Ripe, yeah. sweet mm-hmm. melon. Okay.
The note here that I saw was pear, but I don't get that.
I do.
I do. I could see
middle
pear.
Of the tongue, medium late taste. Yep. It comes on as a kind of,
yep.
kind of a, like a ripe yellow pear.
Absolutely. No, I get it. It's right. And you're right about the middle of the tongue. Why is that?
I mean, there's different kinds of receptors across your tongue, I think. That could be an old wives' tale that we learned, but I think that's true. But I have found over doing this show, if I describe kind of where I'm tasting it and when I'm tasting it, Greg can use that to dial in on it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And apparently you can too. So that's why I did it.
Yeah.
Is here's exactly where you look, there. Both where on your tongue and when in the taste.
I do think that the taste map that we were taught when we were a kid is wrong. But I don't know for sure that there aren't different clusters of different mm-hmm. taste receptors on different areas of the tongue. But it is true that you taste all of them. You know, you taste all the taste everywhere on the tongue.
Mm-hmm. But sensitivity.
But sensitivity may be different in different places.
So I know somebody who listens to this show religiously, and that's my daughter-in-law, Maylee. And she knows about stuff like this. So Maylee, I expect a text. I want you to tell me. If we're right, if there are different receptors in different areas of the tongue that taste different things.
Well, I don't, or at least I don't know. I have read, and we've talked about it before, that there are taste receptors really all over the body, like in the stomach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And mainly, I want citations of modern science, not the stuff we learned in elementary
school. But you don't actually taste with your stomach. Like you don't get the sensation of taste there, but your body uses the same receptors to give information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, unfortunately. It might be interesting if we actually tasted with our stomachs. We'd
I mean, the only time I know that I notice is it, and it's not taste. It's
the hot.
It's not specifically taste, but when I'm eating hot stuff and my stomach is like, oh, there's hot stuff in here.
Yeah.
It comes across like a taste, even though I know it's a different receptor. Yeah. It's a pain receptor.
TRP1, as I remember.
Yeah.
I like this. I was saving
one of these for the show because it seemed like a good fit for the show. It's tonight is tasting more spicy than I think a Duvel is, but the other ones were really enjoyable Belgian Golden Strongs. Mm-hmm. So,
does it kind of remind you of an Allagash though?
I can't think of an Allagash that's a Belgian Golden Strong.
I know,
just standard white Allagash white.
I'm not getting it.
You're not.
I think that some of the esters are similar.
Okay.
I mean, the yeast might be
just
similar.
I mean, and it's not an overwhelming taste or anything, but it's just like these subtle hints of what I like about an Allagash white is.
This is a very yeast forward beer, and I think it's the yeastiness that you're getting.
All right.
That's reminding you of
that's probably it then.
All right. Do you want to jump back to the Pilsner or do you want to get into hoppy things?
Let's do a hoppy thing first.
Okay. This is the Black Raven Squawker Taproom Release India Pale Ale.
Yeah.
Someone knows what we're getting ourselves into here.
I had that. Where I purchased
one thing you
that
didn't mention about the Black Raven story
is the Hazy Squawker or just Squawker?
Just Squawker, I believe.
Just Squawker. Okay.
Founded by Microsoft employees, too.
Sorry, what?
Black Raven's founded by Microsoft employees.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm sure most like vanity projects in Redmond are founded by Microsoft employees.
And Jessica told me the story and I feel bad because I can't remember. But there's two people and one's basically the brew master, runs the beer side of it, and then there's the business person, you know, that signs the paychecks and everything. And
take a sniff of this before kind of off gases because it's potent, it's pungent.
Did you read? So the information is on the label because they talk about here how it's different hops are used in different varieties. Okay. So the two row pale,
don't read the hops
20.
Yet. I want
to
guess.
I'm not going to.
Okay. What's the ABV?
ABV is 7.1%. 70 IBU. So
I'm going to go with Simcoe, Amarillo, and Citra.
Okay. Any guesses?
I can't. I already know.
You got
so
one.
You don't want
got
me.
One. Is it, hopefully it's not Citra.
It is Citra.
Oh, fuck. Okay. It has this kind of like kind of funky dankness to it. I thought Simcoe or Amarillo was in there for sure.
Think about a hop that if you double up on it, can go that way.
Double up on it.
It's a widely used hop, particularly in the new phase. Probably the foundational hop of the new phase, I would say.
Mosaic?
Yes.
Yeah. Does it describe the way that they brew that beer online?
It just says crafted on a simple malt base and layered with a bounty of new hip varietals. And in this case, it is Mosaic, Citra, Comet, and HBC 342.
Oh, that's the one I was thinking of. The Illudium 230 explosive space modulator.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I definitely doubted you would have guessed that one.
Yeah.
But, I have to say that this one was phenomenal on tap. Mm. I mean,
it's not bad. I think it's
still super fresh in the can.
It
is a little aggressive, I would say, in the hops. It's bordering dank. It's bordering
There's a
I think that's why there's so much. That's why it's 7.1% because they have to because
tiny
they,
peep of caddy.
They
got to
sweeten
there.
It up a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Tiny peep of caddy in there.
What do you mean?
Like cat pee?
Oh, mm-hmm. I thought you said caddy.
Caddy. Yeah, caddy is our way.
Caddy, as in a caddy shack. As in caddy shack, not caddy.
Saying urine, we just call it caddy. It's not a lot, but
it's not urine to the urinal part. It's urine to the like litter box.
Yeah.
I don't know what's worse, but
you should have been on the show back in the mid 2000s because oh boy, was there a lot of cat pee in the beer. So this one almost seems a little bit like a throwback. It's a little more juicy. It's a little more juicy than the old ones, but it has some throwback character to
it. It's got throwback West Coast vibes to it without being ridiculously bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like actually in the flavor, I'm getting kind of candied orange, orange rind. It's not very tropical though.
It's not tropical.
A bunch of mosaic, but I'm not getting tropical. I'm getting more citrus.
And I think that's where the flavor changed being in the can for a few weeks. Or I don't know when it was canned. I mean,
I
get back?
This would have been more
oh my gosh,
juicy.
Yeah. It was so juicy. But I don't know if there's a date. Oh, there is. Can you see it?
While you're doing that, so we talked about this guy that I have. This is the Covert Instruments.
February 11th.
So, I mean, that's kind of...
No, that's plenty close. I think that's plenty fresh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, well, there's
in my mind, less than 30 days is fresh.
I mean, I would give, like less than 30 days is ideal, but I think that 3 months is a decent window.
Yeah. If it's like less than 2 months, I mean,
yeah,
you can't knock them. You can
I'm not knocking them. Yeah. I bought this when it was less than 30
but
days.
I'm saying if you could, from my point of view, it's like, you know, I've drank so much Fathead's Headhunter that I can tell if it's more than 30 days old. And when I can find the one that's a week and a half old, it's like a beautiful experience, you know, that kind of thing.
And
you know?
I can tell that this one's more than 30 days old.
Yeah.
Well, or I can tell that this one's from a can versus from tap.
Yeah.
Because the one on tap was really juicy and just
more tropical.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about what I've been getting into recently, or what I found myself in a rabbit hole.
Allegedly getting into.
No, I'm totally getting into.
You need some plausible deniability, Greg.
No. Yeah, I'm in the Epstein files. You guys know that I, you know, care that the Covert Instruments pro, but.
So people who are listening, Covert Instruments pro is a lockpick. Kit from the Lock Picking Lawyers company, who's a YouTuber who is a hobbyist who has a channel on picking locks.
So far, I've used this successfully twice. Once, I was recently down back at my dad's house, we found one of my mother's old necklaces that was all tangled, and I used a hook to help do it. But the other is, a little bit before you came, Jeff, I was just walking the grounds and I noticed that the shed was a warded, or not warded lock, but a layered lock. I forget what it's
called. I mean, the shed at your house. Yeah.
And so this guy.
Did you find any treasure inside?
No. I mean, I just was like curious to see if it would work. And easily. Which is fine. I mean, that tie lock is not meant to be like a security lock.
It's right.
Meant to,
right.
Yeah.
No, you can also yank on the door really hard and get in.
It could probably fall off at this point because.
But it was just like, okay, I can get in if I needed to. But also, it was like, oh, you guys left. It was like when you came over to get tools, I was like, I wasn't surprised because you guys left a lot of tools there. So.
Oh, yeah. In the shop.
I mean, some of those tools, like the circular saw, are meant to be there just for that. That's those house tools.
Yeah.
Some of those are that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's still stuff up on the loft.
Wafer lock. That's what I was like,
sorry. Still stuff on the loft I need to pull out. Some of the wood that's leaning up against the wall I want to get.
And the canoes.
Yeah,
get the canoes
out of there.
There's that TV leaning against the...
Gotta get that recycled.
Oh, you've got to get... Oh, that's still there?
Yeah, it's still there.
Sure is.
Gotta get some shit down there.
It's annoying. You can arrange... Like, Penthouse has a really good garbage program, right? It's like free with your taxes. Mm-hmm. And waste management will come and pick up the electronics waste, but you gotta arrange it. Yeah. And they put you on hold and like...
All right. Well, I've been going down the sort of EDC rabbit hole.
Oh, what?
How much can you carry every day, Greg?
Yeah, well, that's the thing is I actually split it up into two because it was hard on one. But all these connectors, except for the original one that has my car key on it, these are they look kind of plastic, but they're not. Mm-hmm. They're titanium.
Nice.
Do you actually carry all of the stuff with you every day?
This is my everyday carry.
Why?
Because it's got everything I would need. Let me explain.
He's a Boy Scout. Be prepared.
No, wait. Okay. I have another question then. Mm. Why not just put everything you don't actually need on a daily basis on one and then leave that in the glove box in your vehicle? And that way it's always with you.
Because then you're not carrying
it. Then you're not carrying it. Then you're not like, then you're not have it immediately
far
available.
Your vehicle.
Shannon, EDC is having a moment. And everyone loves their everyday carry stuff now. Mm-hmm. And my question is, and if you've thought, like, it seems like it's really turned up the volume in the last 6 months to a year.
I agree.
And do you understand why EDC is like having a moment?
My only guess is that it's neat and cheap, and that's nice. Okay. Most of these are relatively cheap, but you can also get things that are useful.
So I don't know if you saw this, but so the godfather of the maker community, Jimmy Duresta, and I dare say an acquaintance or maybe even friend of ours.
He's a friend. He knows us. We've been to this place.
Started his line of EDC stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, so one of the things he's been selling for a long time is an ice pick with a brass sheath. And there's no real intended use for this ice pick. It's just a pointy thing that you can do to pick your teeth or do whatever you want, and you just carry the ice pick with you. But now he started this line of Duresta the EDC, and he has other kind of tools and stuff. Like, I'll send you a link since you're falling down the EDC rabbit hole. I'll be an enabler here.
Sure.
And you can see if any of that makes sense for you. But yeah, I've started wondering over, let's say, the last 30 days. Like, I'm like, wow. This EDC thing, this everyday carry thing, is definitely having a moment.
It's definitely having a moment.
Are you going to get some of this shit?
I'd like to get an ice pick at some point.
Oh, well,
I would love to get one of Jimmy's
ice picks.
I don't want to say this on the
internet.
I can't
believe that we haven't.
Well, I would love to say this on the internet. I want to get to the point where he gifts us an ice pick, but you know.
I know. Well, I mean, we've been to his place.
Want to say this on the internet. I just want to earn the right to get a gifted ice pick in some way, someday. That's all.
Yeah, but I don't know how many he's actually given away. But anyway,
regardless, you get an ice pick.
But we are his friend.
We're not.
He knows us.
Yeah, but we don't have an ice pick. So we're not his friend.
Would you like me to show off my EDC?
Yeah.
Go for
it. Yes. Okay. So this is just my car key. This is the two keys I have.
That's an EDC too.
Yes, that's definitely an EDC. This is my dad's place. This is my place, your place, slash. The car key. This is this little lanyard. I think I may have shown this to you before, but the lanyard is a USB.
Yeah, you got to have that.
And it has a little lightning
doohickey
in there, which is nice for me since I still have a lightning phone. This
you
guy.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have lightning iPads.
It's going to take me a while to process that, but
it's a 13. It's a 13.
Get off his ass. We have lightning iPads.
That's an iPad. It's not the phone. Difference.
I don't see need to update my phone because I don't use it for. Yeah. I mean, I have the iPad if I need any.
Like, okay. Yeah, I have no idea. It looks like another key fob.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No idea. Oh, a little charger, microcharger.
Yeah. This is a 2200 milliamp. So this is an emergency charger.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can get maybe, 30% on a phone.
I like those titanium swivel locks. So he has all of these things are attached to his key ring. You know, the janitor kind of like, oh, that's so buttery. All right. So these are cool. These are these little swivel locks that disconnect. And then they disconnect with the little string or spring kind of collar thing, almost like an air compressor hose, that kind of release.
Oh, really?
But they're titanium. And, I mean.
So they're really light, but they're strong.
Oh.
Oh, they're stronger than, yeah, they're I mean, they could be aluminum, like, and they'll be like 10% more heavy.
Oh, that's sweet.
But that's a nice design. You don't get...
I've never seen that in anything but an air compressor hose.
Question for
the only thing I dislike about this design is that you can't just snap them back in. You have to hold it.
Yeah, that's right. They could have made it so it push clicks in.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like
it. It should be push clicked in. But those are sexy. All right. Get back to your story.
Very sexy. And
so you were having a question?
No, I just really like that. And I think Jeff needs one.
This was connected at one point to this, but I actually separated because it was easier to carry this. Uh-huh. I've shown you my flashlight already, I think. This is
I don't recall seeing a transformer looking flashlight.
Transformer, yes.
I like how we had the same.
So yes, we do.
It can get really bright if you need it.
Does it flash too?
It does.
I hate those.
Does it send SOS messages?
I hate that they put those on flashlights.
I keep forgetting the
what's the blue for and the yellow.
Well, look at that.
It's a NeoPixel, so you can do any color.
Yeah,
is
nice.
So
you can make
it.
Can you
get it a pure enough red that it's night vision safe?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's wild. That's completely useless. Yeah. That it's so what he has is it's this wheel that spins and it cycles through all the colors of a NeoPixel.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make it any color through the color wheel. That's ridiculous. Okay. What else?
It's almost like the colors that you see in the bottom of it. Well, in a pool. Yeah. I don't like that.
If you put that on your bicycle, I guess that kind of blinky is okay.
Yeah.
The most of the blinkies the flashlights have suck.
So the other thing is it's got this clip that can go stay there on that side or... can go here on that side.
Is it
or on
elastic
that side.
Or is it? I can't tell from here.
It's metal, and then there's a little magnet thing here, so you can. I have this guy on it, so it's not really going to do well. But you can stick this on
your bike.
On something like
and
that,
turn on the.
You could get a little iron plate and plant it in your forehead, and then you could use a headlamp too.
And also attached to here is an ice whistle.
Ice whistles. So we printed some ice whistles.
Jeff 3D printed. I actually gave it to Jessica. The one from Black Raven.
Oh, look who just came running.
He's like, he called? Cooper came running.
We need ice whistles here now because apparently they're at the airport.
Free at Bottle Rocket.
Hopefully not for long. So
I grabbed one that I thought would go nicely with
stand out. 3D printed or is it?
Yeah, 3D printed.
So Jeff's are a little more vulgar because they say F-ice.
Yeah.
But I gave the one he 3D, Jeff, I forgot to tell you, I gave the one that you 3D printed and gave to me. Mm-hmm. I gave it to Jessica because of her story.
Additional cool cordage. I need a cord. This has a USB-A and USB-C, but you can pull this out and there's a USB-C. And you can pull this out and this is Lightning and micro USB.
Oh.
And? Wait, what?
Yeah.
What is this voodoo?
How?
I see how.
I want to see.
I see.
Let me see.
That's fucking crazy.
Let me see.
That has to be unlicensed. There's no way Apple would allow that.
For sure.
Does it actually work?
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah. Well, I've used it for connecting a charger.
Wow.
So yes, it does.
That's insane. I've never seen one like that.
Is that a Leatherman or what do you got there? A little foldy.
Oh, so this tool is a Next tool.
Next tool.
Which,
is that Hacksmith? Is that their hack? Did you get the Hacksmith one?
Greg, I need you to send me links to all of this stuff that I can add it to the wish list for.
That's wild. I thought there's pliers and scissors, but it looked like I opened it up and there's like, there's pliers. And then I open it up again and like, there's more pliers? What?
Yeah.
This is probably titanium too, huh?
I don't think so. I think that's steel. It was not.
I don't think it's steel.
I think it is steel because it was not pricey like titanium would be.
Okay.
These guys are not cheap. They're not like ridiculously expensive, but they're not
cheap. I love that thing. I want one of those because I need a quick release.
Got, a double guy and a knife.
Yeah, I got a couple Leathermen, but they're way bigger than that.
A knife and also a file.
Yeah, you better not ask for another Leatherman.
Phillips or a regular screwdriver and a Phillips head screwdriver here. sort of flat Phillips head.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Which
that would be nice to put in a backpack when we're hiking.
This is a nice
home. We probably
so many
have one
of those little tiny keychain multi-tools are just promotional garbage, you know? Like I just threw away a couple that we got for free, you know, and it's like, oh, that's nice. And you try to use it and it's just such garbage.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
That one's nice.
Yeah, no, this one has good feel to it. But the other thing is that since it has the knife, this is not TSA compliant. So I can just swap it out with this one.
I thought TSA. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the knife has to be under, an inch or something?
Yeah.
And what's that one?
So this is also a next tool,
but it's a little bit too long.
This one doesn't have a blade.
It has scissors, but not a blade.
Oh, okay.
It's got less options. You pull out the scissors. So the scissors come out here, and it's a little...
BRB.
They're a little weird, but there we go. Like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So if I... But it's not, not sure. I was going to push down on it. So if I need to go on a plane, I can just... And so I've kept it with the titanium thing, so I can just sort of swap them out.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I have is on here just in case I ever need it.
What is this? He handed me a little black thing that I haven't figured out yet. It swivels. Pull really hard. This magnets?
Strong magnet, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. You never know when that could come in
handy. I thought it was like a pill container or something at first, but...
No, I think it's originally on like fishing line or something like that, but it's... Mm-hmm. I think that you could... One thing that I'm also looking into getting is to have this guy. I was thinking, like, consider carrying that. I could carry something like this with all the stuff in it, and having like some micro cord, and you could use this like to fish things if you got stuck or something like that. So, but I do think, like, who knows, a magnet could sometimes come in really handy.
Yeah, getting an extendable magnet, on a telescoping rod, because the cord does one direction. But with your little EDC bag there, you might want to look at getting a little because those are like, I carry one of my hiking backpack and that's pretty handy. And a little like dental mirror, like telescoping dental mirror.
Shen is actually using one of the charger that I would carry with me on a plane. But another one that I have is this guy, which not only has a USB-C on it, but has a little thing for the Apple Watch.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah. So this is another little, this is a 5,000 milliamp charger. It has a USB, but also has a thing for the Apple Watch. So you can charge your watch.
Oh, wait, what? Wait.
Jeez, hey guys, finish up your beers. Let's move on to the next one.
You've got more in yours.
That's the next beer.
Oh.
Pour me it. What we got? This is the Pilsner, right?
Wait, what one was that we just had?
The IPA, the squawker.
The squawker, okay. Yeah.
So which one is this?
So this is a charger, but it's also a watch charger. That's pretty cool.
What beer is that?
This is the Black Raven Pilsner.
Black Raven Pilsner. Okay, so
we'll take a break from the Greg's gear reviews to go into CBR again.
Okay. What's the ABV on the pils?
Pilsner is 5.2%.
I also had this one on tap.
Very clear, filtered most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Has a little crackery thing, almost graham cracker. The honey, maybe there's honey there. Anyone getting like a light honey note?
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after the hobby beer, it's a nice sort of wash.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a honey thing. I mean, it's not a honey beer, but in the malts, I'm getting honey character. Out of it, like it's.
I think there's definitely a sweetness there, particularly when compared to the last one. So, almost anything would taste sweet.
Third sip, the noble hops come in. It's kind of a little like spicy herbal thing coming on the like mid third of the tongue.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got that.
It's just nice and crackery to me right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not really getting so much hoppiness from it.
Graham cracker, crackery.
I'll tell you
just
what,
just as
Shannon,
quaffable to me, at least in flight, just as quaffable as the first one.
I'll tell you what, Shannon, the beers you picked up have elevated my opinion of this brewery.
When I was there, I have been I was really impressed.
Now that they have their new production facility, I wonder if they've like stepped up their game. They've had their stuff, you know, several times ever since the first time I was out in Redmond. And they were fine, but they weren't delicious. These are coming across pretty damn good tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I had this pills. And, you know, when we went to Denver, I think it was, but I might be wrong, we had a conversation with the bartender. It was, I think you said something about, or maybe it was somebody else who said, maybe it's the bartender. I don't remember. They always get a pills first when they go to a new brewery.
Pills is a good test.
It's the groundwork. Yeah. It's the good test to see. If their pills is good, then you're pretty much guaranteed that the rest of the beers are going to be good.
I'm not that disciplined.
Who was it? Where were we?
I'm not that disciplined. I didn't say that.
Where were we?
Someone said that. I believe you.
It's driving me nuts. I feel the same way
about like a tuna roll at a sushi restaurant. That's a good way to test. Is this sushi restaurant, are they doing it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes spicy tuna roll, sometimes regular tuna roll. Depends on what I'm feeling. But spicy is something because it masks some of the things that you might be turned off by, but a pure tuna roll, it's a good
probably
way to
the main
it.
Reason I'm not that disciplined is because I grew up in an era where the Pilsner sucked, and I haven't gained enough trust in the system that I'm not wasting my money getting Pilsners until the brewery proves themselves good in other ways, right?
Well, it's so funny because, okay, I believe it was on this trip that I was on just a few weeks back. Mm. And each brewer I went to, I ordered the pills first, right?
Yeah.
And you texted me and said, who are you and what have you done with my wife? But I'm now to that point, that stage where I'm like, no, if there's a pills on tap, I want to have that first because that's going to determine whether or not I'm going to stay and try some other beers or I'm going to leave and go on to the next one because there's plenty more down the road, right? So
definitely also for me, I'm with you in that way, mostly because I'm not a huge fan of hazies anymore.
And I'm kind of steering away from that too. And I like the pills.
And the pills is like one of the only things that is frequent enough to be there on the draft list besides some bunch of hazies.
No, I do love a good lager. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we were at a place, we went to Levity and, you know, I ordered their Czech lager. And whatnot, you know, I'm starting to embrace that good breweries do good lagers. But, you know, like the point was, I grew up in a world where the lagers were shit and you were wasting your money trying to get the lagers.
For sure.
And
I don't know.
So back to
I love this pills.
It's really good. It's really tasty. But
for sure.
Back to some of the EDC that they have. So
Greg's gear review resumes.
Yeah. So these two chargers are not EDC. I brought them but they're more like travel pack stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
In a similar travel pack stuff is actually this light, which really came in handy during the power outages they had, because I think it's even better than this one. It's got, first of all, let me turn off the lock mode. I don't want to do that, but it has
the same algorithm as a vape pen.
So it can go to 50 lumens, 150 lumens. You can also go big, but also has...
Oh, I can't. Oh, he's shining it right in my eyes.
Sorry about that.
That's fine.
It also has a red, right?
Laser.
Extra red.
Mm. Extra red with 50 lumens. But it's not quite as portable. It doesn't have the same portability, but it does... This can twist around to go that way, and it has...
Oh, the twist is on a 45. That's sexy.
So really nice magnets.
So for the people listening, it's the size of, it's a little bit bigger than a stick, a pack of gum.
But the lights shine. I would say it's a little bit bigger than I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Let's say it's about the size of a Tic Tac thing.
Yeah, yeah, before the shrinkflation. But the lights shoot out, like if Tic Tacs are standing up, it shoots out horizontally.
Mm-hmm.
But the twist part is on the 45. So when you turn it 180 degrees,
Now it shoots out the traditional way of a flashlight, where, you know, you would hold it and it would go out the lengthwise of the object. That's sexy.
It's got magnets in the back there so it can stick onto something, and it can charge via that front is the charging.
AQI charger.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's pretty neat,
this
Gregory.
This was really nice, yeah, during the power, like when, because...
How long was your power out for?
About a little more than a day, I think.
Really?
That's remarkably that's long for where you live.
Longer than
because
we've ever had our power out there.
Because of the water treatment plant.
So it was less than a day. It was about 18 hours.
Because of the water treatment plant up at the top of the hill.
Neil. They get that turned on.
Well, the thing was that there was so many power outages throughout the city.
I know, but Neil had told us this. It is, lines up. Is
your
on like a priority service restore because the water treatment plant needs to get back online. So
well, it was. We went out at 6 p.m. at night, and the power came back at 11 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah,
and it was probably really high winds and bad through the night.
Yeah. Through a lot of the night it was high winds. They didn't, but like, yeah, they got to my apartment complex before they got to my old apartment complex before they got to us.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So yeah. So
wow. No, usually it comes back on really quickly out there because of that water treatment plant, because they have to get it back on.
There was one just recently, a couple nights ago. It was only a couple hours, but
yeah.
it wasn't really preceded by anything. There wasn't like a storm in the air. It just sort of happened and then it came back.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, they're used to it. So the other things that I'm carrying are, I do have a Right in the Rain. Oh, I forgot to show you on this guy. I also have this, which is really nice.
Oh, your eyeglass.
No, I don't have eyeglasses.
Well, no, you don't, but...
Little pen.
That's a pen.
Oh, it's a pen?
That's a pen.
It looks like a tool to screw.
And it has a bolt action, like, it feels like you're like cocking a gun.
Tiny, like, I'm going to shoot you with my ballpoint. But it's really nice and
it looks like the ones that used to be in the phones, remember?
Send you the rest of the stuff. You might find something cool there.
So I do have, so that's why I have the Right in the Rain stuff, so I can have notepads with me. In addition, I've always had this, but I always forget that I have this, but it's something that I bought, I don't know, like years ago that I have, which is one of these like...
Oh,
credit card
thingy.
Right. That actually has like a little screwdriver head here, and you can use this thing as like a blade for a box cutter.
I had one of those, and somehow it was in my pocket. Mine was heavier, more beefy than this, and I put it through the wash, and it got
shocking.
Shannon washed it.
Mm.
Shocking.
The sharp kind of cutter edge on it. Yours doesn't have a cutter edge.
It does.
It put some burrs in the washing machine, and then all our clothes started getting snags on them.
It has a cutting edge right here.
Don't wash it, because all of our clothes started getting snags on it. Mm-hmm. I had to get into the washing with my Dremel and smooth out, find all the burrs and smooth them out.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. No, I don't typically throw my wallet in there.
Yeah, I don't know why that, I don't care. That's not, I don't literally every day carry it. So I don't know why it was in a pocket, but it was in a pocket and it fucked shit up.
Oh, yeah.
Alexa, shut up.
That's just a nice thing to have if I ever need to charge somewhere.
Yeah,
this is a data blocker.
Oh, this is data blocker, yeah.
Yeah, this is a data blocker USB-C. So if I ever need to charge.
Apparently, there's no like cited
cases.
Occurrences of juice jacking.
That surprises me.
Me too. I was going to put it in my security talk last year for WorkbenchCon, and I looked into it. And while the FBI recommends against using public, USBs and stuff like that, there is no actual cited cases of juice jacking.
Well,
it does seem
a lot like all the security, warnings for stuff, but there's no cited cases of those security things being exploited. But it's just like
all of the phone companies have hardened their, the phone has to be unlocked and, all this other stuff. I think it's a super low risk. And I just 2 weeks ago, because we were talking about it on our Teams channel at work, I looked into it again. And it hasn't changed. There's never been a cited case of juice jacking.
Sure, but this thing is, it's nothing. It weighs nothing, and it's easier. I also have, just in case, a challenge coin, in case anybody throws one out.
Did you get coin checked?
Yeah. Now, this is my Mystery Science Theater 3000 challenge coin, but it'll work. Well,
that's a big challenge coin. I used to carry a challenge coin with me. I've gotten lazy with it. I need to make a, like a, oh shit. Did I ever give you the CBR challenge?
You never did.
I still got to send them out.
Yeah.
No, I got some CBR 20-year anniversary challenge coins that send out. And then the move.
I mean, the move.
The move really.
Yeah, the move.
Because that is, really, when it, that was the student exactly when it happened.
At Bottle Rocket, so we get the free.
Nice. Yeah.
That's not right. EDC.
That's so you can get your Icy Light.
Yep.
Move on to the next beer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So Shannon just bought this beer. Should be super fresh. She just brought it home an hour ago. This is Mutiny from Hitchhiker Brewing Company. It's a hazy American pale ale with Galaxy Nelson and Citra.
Galaxy Nelson and Citra.
Yeah. I went to refill our beer fridge on the way home from the office, which was an awful drag coming home. And
you're the one that went to the office on a Friday.
Friday should have been a good day to go to the office, but yeah,
we're not anyway. In COVID anymore.
We're just not. Yeah. Anyway, I was getting ready to place my order, but you know, our dear friend at Hitchhiker, he was like, try this. Gave me the glass. And so had to get a 4-pack.
Which one is this? This
Mutiny.
Is
Mutiny. Mutiny.
Has a tall ship on the label. It's a different design than their typical label design.
I like it though.
It's also black and gold, so go Stillers.
Go Stillers. What's the ABV on that? Do you see it?
5.5.
All right.
Two row Pilsner oats and wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would see Galaxy Nelson and Citra and get super excited, but then like realize that Galaxy started out this like baller hop that was like the best thing on earth. And then after about two seasons, it kind of got crappy. So
is it just because of the terroir? Like, we've
talked about this a little bit on the show. I don't have any citations. Greg McGill, I think, brought it up to me, but it's like, there's the phenomenon where these new strains, you know, that are developed and released, super potent, super juicy first year or two. And then they kind of get muddy after that. And
well, I think, okay, so here's the question. Is that some weird genetic hop thing? It doesn't seem like that would be the case. That doesn't make much sense, especially if you just plant new plants elsewhere. Or is it a terroir thing where there's really good stuff, especially in the first couple, and then like some of the nutrients are out of the soil, and you plant in different places, and the soil has different
hops are a perennial, right? So unless you're putting in new acreage, you know, so, and it's too expensive, you gotta make the use out of the rhizomes you got. So you're not gonna rip them out and put in fresh ones just to get fresh Galaxy. That most people aren't going to notice. I don't know, but let's see if this beer has the goodness or the badness.
Like as a hop gets more popular, it gets planted more places, and there's going to be a quality differential.
Oh yeah, more place. Yeah, yes, but because like almost all the hops from these breweries come out of Oregon, you know, like it's not that far apart. You know, maybe some from Yakima, but usually not.
Still, you know, people are going to not necessarily go with the cheaper option if they can get it.
So what are you all getting from this?
Oh, I just gave it a swirly swirl and
got the nose.
Spearmint, which was weird.
Spearmint?
I got a minty thing when I gave it a swirly swirl.
I don't know if I
get minty. It definitely changed the aroma when I gave it the swirly swirl, but I'm not.
No, I'm not getting mint. You know, mentholic, which is where the mint comes from. I'm getting pineapple for sure, guava.
This one has the body is fascinating. It's almost like cake-like. Like,
did you say cake?
Cake-like. Like? Yeah, okay. like cake-light. Cake-like. Like, you said pineapple, but like, you know, like, oh, it's like a pineapple upside-down cake.
Upside-down cake, yeah, okay.
Like, but the body, like, reminds me of, like, that kind of fluffy cake for some reason, which is not a feeling I get very often with tasting things like this.
Dale says this is one of his absolute favorites that they've ever brewed.
Dale.
Well, I'm curious to know what I mean, because you and I have had practically everything that they've ever brewed. So I'm curious.
It's good. It's above average. Uh-huh. I'm still making my opinions on it.
Tastes like every other Hitchhiker's AZ I've had.
Really?
Every other one.
Yeah. They all taste so similar to me. Maybe like I really do think that I have something against the Hitchhiker yeast.
I do. I think so too.
Because I know that for a fact that I really love the hop farm yeast. Mm-hmm. And this, it feels very muddy. Everything feels muddy at the sort of the end. Like, I get the different hop stuff, but like the place where the hops and the malt intersect just feels muddy and not clean and crisp.
So this one has, I believe, a Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
If you could check for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Galaxy, which Nelson, Savon,
right. So Nelson is not one that I usually like. Mm. I taste it immediately, and it's one of them that I'm just like, don't really care for this.
I can totally taste it there. That Nelson gives you that, Nelson Savon gives you that sort of Chardonnay-esque character.
I like the way that it blends with the others. Mm-hmm. And I just think this is a perfect blend of all of them. And it just, it's robust. It's very different than any, to me, it's very different than any of the other ones that they've come out with.
I mean, as I'm getting through this, I'm picking out some of the better Galaxy notes.
Where they're it's more there, but the brightness is gone.
Yeah, the guava and stuff is in there.
The lift that
I'm
it normally gives
us. Getting anything is particularly Nelsa, but I do agree with you, Greg, where the end is this, I won't say a mess, but, you know, it's confusing.
Yeah.
The end's confusing for sure.
Especially since we had the really clean, crispy, pills and stuff like that.
Yeah,
where,
yeah.
Where, you know, everything really makes sense and moves into each other. You know, I do think that the East End is a little confusing too, just because the nature of what Belgian beers are. Mm-hmm. They've got all this estery stuff, all this stuff. And so it's sort of naturally confusing. The give up didn't have, that we'd had in the pre-show, didn't have much going on, to be honest. We didn't really talk about that much, but it felt very muted.
Mm-hmm.
But was there anything else that we had here that I'm not on the mistake?
Well, we still have to do the grandfather.
Okay, yeah, I'm just seeing if there's anything else to compare it to.
No, there was the give up.
The squawker. Squirter. Right, so the squawker was much more defined in what it was. It was
absolutely
West Coast style IPA with, you know, more modern hops.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Clear. And it could have been, you know, fresher, right? It could have been super bright if it was like a couple of days old.
Right.
Still plenty bright and still good, but like
absolutely.
A couple of days old would have been like probably off the charts.
It was. It was a banger. It was like they say now, tits.
Yeah. Is that what they say?
Come on. You know what they told
me. High five for tits.
Yeah. It was tits. I mean, seriously, when I had that one at the brewery, I was just, I came home and I told you, I was crazy about that one. Mm-hmm. I was just like, holy crap, that is a fantastic beer.
But this guy is called a mutiny. That's the name. And it feels a little bit like a mutiny. It's confused. Everything's kind of moving around. You're not sure who's in charge.
No, I mean, I'm getting that on the end, you know, so it's just kind of very, like you said, I think you said muddled.
Yeah.
So I get that. Yeah.
I
think for me, it was a shock just to taste it there. And I was like, oh, this is so different than what I've ever had at Hitchhiker. Don't you think it's different than what you've had?
I don't think it's different. It's
no.
No, it's in the ballpark of the different blends that they use. I mean, they use Citra and Nelson and Galaxy and a bunch of different beers.
Well, yeah, I know that. But it just seems, I don't know. it still tasted very different than
it's bad. I think that the galaxy's better.
Maybe it was the 30-minute drive to drive 3 miles from the office to Hitchhiker today.
Just put the vibes into the beer that we're on.
And I just didn't give a shit.
The thing I'll say is I've been chronically disappointed by Galaxy for the last couple of years. This one restores it a little bit. I mean, the Galaxy I do taste in that is good, but it has, it doesn't tell a clear story.
Yeah. I do think, you know, and this is our very common refrain on here, that these are beers under a microscope. This would taste fine and great out of a fridge, you know, pouring it while you're watching something.
The other three cans you're going to love, and it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. But
oh, I'm not. Doesn't bother me. Trust me. And I actually think all of the Black Ravens are better than any of the others that we
guys are just like ranking before we even finish with the beers.
Sorry.
Are you saying we smell?
You're just jumping ahead.
You're saying we're ranking.
A ranking bridge. I need to rinse my glass.
Okay. When I was in high
school, because that one is an
ranking
important one.
Meant like smelly and gross.
Before you open that one, we need to talk about that one.
What's the title on it? What's the name of
this? This is Grandfather Raven.
Grandfather Raven. What year?
Just wait till you're back on mic.
What year?
Current year, probably.
The last.
It used to never be canned, apparently.
Yeah, that is correct.
No, it is. So you might be finding old information.
Maybe.
So. The story. Oh, I got to get my headset.
It's canned
back
on December 11th.
Struggling.
Okay.
The story behind the Grandfather Raven is this was one of their, like, their best beers that they brewed. And they refused to can it or bottle it for years and years. Because they did not want the reputation of this beer to be changed from a can or a bottle. So they would not do it. And it was just recently, I don't know how recent, that they decided to give in and go ahead and can it because their regulars really, really pushed to get this canned. And they said, all right, fine, we'll go ahead and do it. But so I have not, did I have this one? I think I did taste it. I do believe I had a taste. Anyway, they did can it and now it's for sale in cans for everyone. And I brought one home for us to try.
We'll allow me to introduce this beer because it deserves the introduction
please,
based on what I'm reading.
Please, yes. Because I'm not doing it justice, I don't believe.
In Northwest Coast Native history, the raven is often depicted as the creator of the earth. This great bird, referred to as Grandfather Raven, brought the sun, moon, fire, and fresh water to the first people. We bring you our Imperial Stout as an offering befitting of this mythical creature. Winner! 2013.
Oh, yeah.
WABA Gold Medal Category Imperial Stout. 2016 WABA Bronze Medal Imperial Stout. 2016 NABA Silver Medal Imperial Stout. 2021 NABA Bronze Medal Imperial Stout. 9.5% alcohol by volume, 75 IBU. Malted with 2-row barley, crystal, chocolate, carafa, and roast. Heck of a malt builder. Hops, Magnum, Mount Hood, Czechzots.
Yeah, pretty traditional Imperial Stout.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to let this warm up a little bit.
First thing I get on the aroma is a kind of a smokiness, actually. Roast malt or something like that. But you know,
carafa and roast,
oh, yeah. No. You know what it reminds me of?
Say it.
The place where they make the barrels in Kentucky.
Oh.
That the smell, the aroma.
The marshmallow smell.
Takes me right back to that. Well, it's not just, it's more of the wood. But it has that marshmallowy sweetness.
This is one of those recommendations where, you know, open your mouth as you sip it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting cherry.
From the aroma, it smells, it doesn't have any boozy aroma, which is my happy place for Imperial Stouts.
but it does smell like a pretty traditional, like English
yes.
style imperial stout, mm-hmm. where, you know, you're getting that kind of smoky, burnt tannicness from like a roast barley.
There's a molasses thing in there.
Do you guys get cherry out of it? I'm getting cherry.
Not yet.
Only incidentally, only like, you know, flavors that are.
Like it's just get, there in the passing.
Chaff, as we would call it in improv, stuff that is like the side stuff, yeah, side notes.
In passing.
Moving on to the flavor. Pretty bitter, pretty traditional for an English style. There's the malt sweetness is pretty low. The hopping is moderate, but most of the bitterness comes from the roasted barley.
Yeah.
It's a lot of
molasses,
toffee,
it's a little bit dark, you know, dark toffee, dark molasses, yeah. mm-hmm.
little puckering, baker's chocolate kind of thing going mm-hmm. on.
Baker's chocolate.
Yeah.
Absolutely baker's chocolate.
Yeah. This is not your comforting hug stout, but this is like a dark treat, like a bitter after dinner,
mm-hmm.
like.
Mm-hmm.
It has a dry vibe to it, like a dusty dry vibe, like yeah. baker's chocolate.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, baker's chocolate. Yeah.
It definitely lacks sweetness there.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, I mean, at 9.5%, 75 IBU, it's got enough sweetness to not be like ridiculously bitter, but it the roastiness lingers. The like you said, sort of dryness lingers here. It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It, what sticks around it is the end of molasses type flavor.
Yeah, there's a kind of a blackstrappy thing, mm-hmm. I guess.
I want to let but mine even, but sit even that's for a little bit.
Even that's a little sweeter than what I'm tasting. Mine is like mostly like chaff and ash and stuff like that.
Chaff and ash?
I don't mean it in a bad way. Even like, cause,
what is chaff
and ash? It's tasty. It's
very
tasty.
Like husks, like roasted barley husks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I totally okay. get that. No, this is...
I think you should let this
warm
up.
It's already really warm.
Whenever I was at a campfire when I was a kid, I was never too... I was when I toasted marshmallows, I was always impatient, and I just would let it catch right. on fire. And the... outside,
mm-hmm.
that carbonaceous stuff that reminds me of the taste. Because you get yeah. you get the sweetness inside, but you mm-hmm. get that sort of bitter outside.
Okay. Yeah.
So think of a fire-encrusted, like carbon-encrusted marshmallow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. You're right.
I took a, you know, sometimes when you like take different varieties of sips, you get different flavors. I took one where I kind of sucked and pulled along my tongue. It's kind of like a hard, not a big gulp, but a hard sip. And I got more caramel notes.
How often does he suck and pull along his tongue?
you know, all the time, man. All the time. But no, if you kind of like just try to do like a quick one and like pull it, like don't let it linger on your tongue. don't let it linger on your tongue. But
you
take
just
a quick
need
sip,
to stop.
It takes away the ashiness and gets more caramelly.
You're not letting the bitter linger in, so you're the what remains is sort of a the sweetness is more dominant than some of the bitter
and
stuff.
That's where the cherry is kind of coming through, but almost like in an oxidized kind of way.
Yeah. Yes, it's oxidized. Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
it is. But no, I'm getting a caramel.
No, I think I'm right.
You can be right.
I think I'm right. You can all be right. With a flame, you know, a carbon encrusted marshmallow.
No, I think you're right too. It's which overcooked.
I have a taste for because that was like what I enjoyed as, you know, as a kid.
It's overcooked.
Even though I recognize now, like as somebody who enjoys, you know, culinary stuff, that it was totally the wrong way to do it. But I was an impatient ADD kid.
No, it was definitely overcooked. That's six, right?
Yeah.
Are we including the pre-show beer?
No.
Yeah, I don't think we should.
We can't. How could we?
Well, we didn't talk about it. Another thing we didn't talk about, and we should, because it's the theme of the show or the theme song of the show.
I mean, but we can't include it in the ratings.
No. But I'm talking about something different. We didn't talk about Pink Pony Club.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Last time I was here, the last show, I brought a little karaoke kit,
huh.
which, yes. as you mentioned, It fucks.
It does. It's so good.
It's called Naya fucks too. So it's so it works.
And you didn't order. You were going to order one and you never did.
I didn't. I'm a bad man.
Well, no, you need to get one so we can take it to Florida because I know Maylee, who's going to be listening right now, she's going to want to do karaoke. We're doing karaoke in Florida. So we need one of those little boxes.
I'll get one.
Yeah.
So one of the first, like you were doing some songs, one of the first songs that you guys picked was Pink Pony Club. And I acted like I was, I acted like I wasn't into it at all. And then as soon as the chorus came, I jumped in and like ran with it. Cause I do, I think it's really fun. I actually like the song a lot. And then as we were going on, we sort of noticed like you just stick Pink Pony Club in here. Like Pink Pony Club matches.
Oh,
with,
that's right. We did do that, didn't we? We threw it into every song.
Yeah, and then we just started. Yeah, every song just became Pink Pony. Like the tune was whatever the song was tuned, but we just kept citing Pink Pony Club lyrics. And it was really, really fun.
It's one of those songs that is the chord progression that is super popular.
It fits.
So
every
other
chord,
song we sang when we were like goofing around, we would switch over to Pink Pony Club. It just fits in. All right, I got my rankings. We can jump into these real quick. I'm gonna put The Mutiny from Hitchhiker in last place because of kind of the muddledness of it. The bonus points there are The Galaxy kind of stood out. I liked it. I'm gonna put this Grandfather Raven in second to last place, in fifth place. It's not my wheelhouse of Imperial Stout. I want more of the raisins. I want more of the booze is what the Russian kind of Imperial Stouts is what I like. This was fine, but just roasty and chaffy, you know, wasn't working for me. Fourth place, I'll put the East End 21st. Because of what I tasted tonight, where it was more spicy and rye, that was weird, and I'm not sure what caused that. Put the Black Raven Squawker in third place. It was kind of that clean West Coast IPA that brought to me, the Simcoe flavors, but apparently there wasn't Simcoe in it. And the lagers were the shining star of the night. I'm going to put the Moon Tower in second place and the Pilsner in first place because they were just enjoyable and yum yums.
Mm. Okay. I am going to also put the Hitchhiker in last place because it was muddled, as we talked about. I'm going to put the 21st anniversary above that. Very reminiscent of other Belgian stuff, but the other stuff I think was more enjoyable to me. I'm actually going to...
I have the hiccups.
I'm going to put the
Moon Tower
next. Enjoyable, but like, and you know, perfectly tasty and quaffable. But yeah, I think the other ones had more things going for it. I'm going to put the Squawker next because I really did like this Imperial Stout. I do like this a lot. I know that it's not Jeff, it's not your favorite style Imperial Stout, but I do like the bitterness and I like what's going on here. It's very tasty. There's nothing off about it. There's no no oxidation, you know, getting a really fresh, well-constructed Imperial Stout, even if it's more of the bitters. I like this style a lot.
Okay.
But I do think the Pilsner, and maybe it was Flight where it was, but that Pilsner was so refreshing at just the right time and was really clean and crisp. Like all these were, Black Ravens were super clean and crisp, like, you know.
Yeah, no, like I said earlier, my impression of Black Raven was elevated this show. So even though I put the Grandfather down towards the bottom, it wasn't wrong.
Well, like I get it. It's not like the thing that you like. It's like if I were judging a red ale, I would judge it way worse than other things just because it's not a style that I'm into. Yeah. Not necessarily because it's a bad version.
Put that thing in a barrel for 6 months and...
Yeah, so that would be my list. Shannon.
All right, Shannon, you got...
All right. I have the hiccups, and I can't seem to get rid of them, so I apologize in advance.
Just lean into it.
So, okay, I'm doing
celebrate
it.
Celebrate your hiccups.
So I am putting the Black Raven Pilsner in... Should I go last?
We usually go last to first to build suspense, but you don't have
last to first. I have to do the grandfather from Black Raven in last, and feel bad about that. But anyways, I'm doing it.
You did it.
She doesn't give a fuck.
No.
I mean,
they'll cry in their beer. That's okay.
Then Mutiny in fifth place. I really think that they are. God.
You're hurting feelings all over the place tonight.
I know.
You're just hurting feelings.
I don't know why I have the hiccups.
I'll give you sympathy hiccups.
Yeah, I haven't had anything to eat
because
today.
Of a curse from Black Raven.
It probably is.
If you hiccup, I'll hiccup. I'll give you sympathy hiccups.
Okay. But I'm really torn because I think they both are equal. So I'm not really sure. But anyways, sixth and fifth.
Okay.
Mutiny, yep. Grandfather. And then in
fourth place,
I'm going to go with the 21st anniversary with East End. I really did like this beer.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't up against all these other ones, oh my gosh, this is driving me crazy. I need to drink some water upside down. But
is that how you solve hiccups?
Yes.
I've heard so many different ways.
It actually does work. It works.
For me, it's just hold a little water in your mouth. And
yeah, no.
Turn into the potion. Swallow and remedies. Yeah. In the time that I had hiccups for 4 days. No.
I've been doing this for 45 years. And I know drinking water upside down works. Anyway. So, okay. That's for East End, fourth place. Really like it. If it wasn't up against the other ones. I mean, I've been drinking. We had a 4-pack of this. Yeah. I love it. So
you don't have to candy coat it. They're big boys. They can take it.
Third place.
Squawker.
I'm going to have to put the Squawker. I would have put it first place if I was at the brewery, because when I had it on tap, it was freaking phenomenal.
But this ain't them.
But it's not. So anyways, it's in third place. Sorry. But it's still Black Raven. And then in second place, I'm going to put the Moon Tower. Really like it. Super hoppy. Not super hoppy. I'm reading my notes wrong. It's not super hoppy, but it's a really nice, smooth blend of hoppy. And I don't know. I really enjoyed it. But first place, Black Raven's Pilsner. Hands down. And there's nothing that compares to it on this table.
Here, I got something for you.
I love it. I could drink this all day, every day. That's my Mary.
Why are you playing this song?
Because she's a Pilsner girl in a Pilsner world.
How is this a Pilsner world?
I don't know. Because she picked two like Pilsners for the top two. So I think she's a Pilsner girl in a Pilsner world.
I did. But I'm telling you what, this one.
This is a hazy IPA world we're in, my friend.
If you look at the market overall, bullshit. That's
actually,
sold.
It's the world we're in now is.
Sorry, it was a bad joke. Greg's not allowing the bad joke, so I will take the bad joke back.
No, I'm going to fight against those bad
non-alcohol
jokes.
Non-alcohol.
But I'm not fighting against your hiccuping, because hiccuping is natural. It's something that people do. And we should embrace the fact that it's just.
I just learned this week that the science has changed, and it's no longer thought to be a infant kind of learning how to suck on a nipple kind of thing. It's not that. It's now apparently just this vestigial thing from all the way back to salamanders, like have hiccups.
What?
That doesn't surprise me because it.
So what they think now is it has to do, and this came from
Hank
Green.
Wait. Before you guys go off on your tangent,
when you have gills,
should we end this and go to the post show?
No. First we have to do Mary Fuck Kill, so we can't end it yet.
No, but when you have lungs and gills, the hiccups help you like not flood your lungs with water, but pass the fluids past your gills. Apparently, that's the state-of-the-art science of hiccups.
Well, keep in mind, fish had lungs way before they came out of the water. In fact, they still do.
Well, forget that I said salamanders. Forget just, but when you,
also salamanders is a different group of life.
Whatever creature.
Yeah.
But the hiccups when you were like, it would allow you to not, you would, because the epiglottis would close off and not let the water into your lungs, but it would let you pull it past your gills or something. So apparently that's, and I can't, I'm not ready to argue this. That's the state of the art. But before I heard that this week, I thought it was a nursing reflex.
I think that was the old story. That was the wives' tale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to ask Marley, is it?
Maylee.
Sorry.
Yeah. Maylee, let us know.
Yeah.
Hiccups.
One thing I will also, I've had to explain this to a couple people.
How do they work?
I haven't had to explain this, but I've said this to a couple people, which is recently, just because we've been at a couple things with friends of mine, and people have like, oh, I forget, I can't remember their name, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you're not, don't worry about it. Because the story that I've learned is that brains don't prioritize names. This is not important information at all.
No, faces, we have so much.
Faces are much more important. Mm-hmm. You remember faces.
Sure.
Names, don't be embarrassed to forget a name.
There's also, like, I used to not have a problem. Like, when I was younger, names stuck with me. And then I hit a certain age and names stopped sticking with me. And I was horribly unprepared for it because I never
built just dementia.
Because I never built the habit of like of doing a conscious name save. Like I never hit the save as for names, you know. Mm. And I didn't need to do a save as when I was a kid. And now I need to do a save as. And it took me 10 years to learn that I need to start doing a save as. So.
All right, let's do the marry, fuck, kill.
All right.
I'm going to start.
What you got?
I'm going to marry the Black Raven Pilsner because I could drink that all day, every freaking day.
Uh-huh.
I am going to fuck the Squawker from Black Raven.
And it's going to make lots of noise when you do it.
Yes, it is. As long as I can get this on tap.
Is it consenting? Are you going in the right
way? Yeah, it's consenting. All right. Of course.
It's squawking. It might.
You know. But no, as long as it's on tap, I'm going to do it.
Don't shotgun me.
The kill is really hard for me. I hate doing this because I feel like such a traitor.
Bad person.
I do feel like a bad person, but I'm going to have to kill the hitchhiker's mutiny.
You were trying to talk yourself into it like 10 minutes ago. You're like, he's not so bad.
I know, but I'm going to kill it. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
Hey, I mean, it's Hitchhiker.
No, got to kill your darlings, right?
No one's going to miss Hitchhiker.
Got to kill your darlings.
Oh, I would really miss it.
Rude, man.
I'm just saying, like,
The double airwaves.
The cops aren't going to come for you because a Hitchhiker goes missing.
Double. All right. What do you got, Greg?
All right. Black Raven. Yeah, totally married Black Raven. No, that's a...
Which one?
There's four.
Oh, the Pilsner. Sorry, the Pilsner. Okay. The one that's right in front of me. The Pilsner.
Yay for Black Raven.
Yeah, no, like you said, it's a... Every day you're going to love it, and you're not really going to get tired of it. And there's so many infinite variations you can have by just having like a little side salad.
Yeah. Right,
so... Fuck! I'm gonna fuck the Imperial Stout because it's gonna be a goth night. It's gonna be weird.
The grandfather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
You know. Maybe it's a cosplay night, and you go to the whorehouse and you put on your vampire teeth.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's probably gonna be a good time. Yeah. And yeah, I'm gonna kill Hitchhiker because, like I said, I mean, cops aren't gonna be like knocking your door. Have you seen this Hitchhiker?
Gotcha. I'm gonna marry the Pilsner too.
Yes.
I don't know what the fuck's gonna be. It's gonna be the. Really, I mean, I know we have to pick one, but there's not for like in reality, there's not really a fuck here. Squawker, I guess, and then
why?
Kill,
why?
Cause I'm horny. I don't know. And then I'll
you want to hear the noises.
I'll kill the grandfather. It just didn't work for me.
All right.
Hey, I have to give a shout out to Jessica. I have to give a shout out to Jessica. She is freaking amazing at her job, and she is amazing at the brewery as well.
Whoop whoop, Jessica!
And I have to give a shout out. Yeah, I have to give a shout out to Black Raven because they were awesome at their hospitality when I was there. So thank you very much. And it was a great show.
I know what you're going to do. Yeah, no, I get it. But What? Just well, all you got to you really want to talk about the pink Girl, Bonnie Club?
What have you done?
Oh my god!
Done at the club, dancing your nut.
I don't know this part.
I'm having fun. My heels.
Nobody wants to hear karaoke from this club.
But we got to talk about the Pink Pony Club.
I'm going to keep on dancing at the Pink Pony Club. I'm going to keep on dancing down to West Hollywood. I'm going to keep on dancing at the Pink Pony Club.